Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, which is your one-hour inspirational programming. It's a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host and facilitator. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we're going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We're so glad that you joined us this afternoon, and we're happy that you stopped by. Thank you for doing that. And this time, just momentarily, we're going to bring in some of our co-hosts. But tonight's topic is, did God create us with common sense? If so, what happened in the Garden of Eden? You know, so that's what we're going to be kind of talking about tonight. If God created us with common sense, what actually happened in the Garden of Eden in terms of why didn't Adam and Eve perhaps use their common sense when God created them? So we're going to discuss some of that tonight, amongst other opinions that you all may have on various topics. All right, so once again, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, your one-hour inspirational programming, a component of our programming and broadcast. Let's go ahead and just bring in for now, we're just going to bring in a Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always a pleasure and honor to have you.
Dr. Walker, thank you for having me today. And let's get started on this hot topic.
All right, great. We're going to get to that in just a moment. We're going to be bringing some more of our various co-hosts in just a few minutes. I want to also read something that one of my classmates, you know, sent in about tonight's topic. You know, I want to be able to quote him directly on what he said about common sense. And so we're going to get to that in just a moment. We're not sure if Ms. Cassandra's joining us. Is she joining us tonight? Do you know?
Yes, she will, Dr. Walker.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So tonight, we're going to be discussing once again, God created us with common sense. Let's go ahead and welcome Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's always an honor to have you on board.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I really appreciate it. I want to say to everybody that on behalf of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, Inc., that the staff and family, we would like to thank you all for your thoughts, prayers, and condolences on the passing of his brother, Larry. The funeral arrangements are being made, and they will be in North Carolina. So just thank you to all of you who have lifted him up in prayer and his family. We really appreciate it. And then I also like to say, if you haven't purchased Dr. Jesse Walker's book, After the Passion, Now What?, grab a copy. It's a great read. Buy it as a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's beautifully made and easy to read and really opens your eyes to some situations of when you say things to people or how you act out in public or at work or whatever. It can give you some insight into that. And then I just want to say that we just respect everyone's opinions on all of our shows. So let's get started and talk about some common sense.
All right. Excellent. Now, when it comes to common sense, Shield of Faith, I want to go here with you and start out with, okay, so first of all, the question is asked, did God create us with common sense? I know we talked about common sense last night, and a number of people, some say that maybe we were born with common sense, some said that we learned common sense, and the question was begged or asked, can common sense be bought or taught? First of all, Shield of Faith, the first question to you is, can you buy common sense like you can buy a loaf of bread?
My first thought would be no, but I guess you could go to somebody and pay for some advice that might help you make a good decision, which would be common to most people. Does that make sense?
All right. Let's wrestle with that for a moment. Can you buy common sense? Can you buy a brain? Is common sense the same as advice? Shield of Faith, is it the same as advice? I need to go buy I can only afford to pay $800 a month, but I see this mansion over here that's $3,000 a month. I mean, and my revenue does not match. My income-to-debt ratio does not match. Trying to get that qualified for that home, although I have excellent credit. Let's just say this is a hypothetical. So is it common sense to get into a house that is going to cost me $3,000 mortgage and I can barely make it at $800 a month because I have faith to say, well, if God put me in that house, I should be able to keep that house. What do you say about that, Shield of Faith?
That's the opposite of common sense in my perspective. I think it's like we see and hear and understand things, and then we make decisions that are common to most people, and sometimes we need to discuss it with somebody, sometimes we don't. But I think when you add godly, like, morality and, things that God teaches us in his word to common sense, then you have godly wisdom, which helps you make common sense decisions.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Demon Slayer, I want to come to you and ask that question as well. And we're going to kind of focus and address that because, we want to bring in the faith component as well when it comes to common sense. And let's use this house scenario again, Demon Slayer. So here it is over here. I just have by faith, I can afford that house at $3,000 a month because God is going to make a way out of no way for me to be able to get that house because I'm his child. He wants me to have the best. But I don't have any other sources of income. I'm just thinking that maybe he'll help me win the lottery, and then I can get that house. Is that common sense? If it's not, why isn't that common sense? Because I have faith.
I don't think it have anything to do with faith. I think it just has something to do with crunching numbers in business. You can have common sense, but sometimes some people override it and always say, okay, we can get into this house. But when you numbers, you're looking at a longevity that you have to look forward to. So, anything might happen within that to get the house or however you want to do, 20 or 30 years. But see, you got to plan ahead for the 20 years or 30 years. Anything might happen, emergency, death, whatever. One of y'all might die. You got to have your life insurance thing together and everything. So it's not, I don't think it has anything to do with faith. All it has something to do with crunching numbers and business. You just got to use common sense and doing business.
But if I haven't been, as Shield of Faith said, Demon Slayer, she said, well, you can go and get advice. You can pay. So the question was asked, can you buy common sense? Is advice and common sense the same thing? Is advice and common sense? Okay, I don't know. I don't know that I'm thinking I got faith about that house. But the common sense is you don't make enough money to afford that house. But I'm thinking my faith can get me override the common sense. So Demon Slayer, help me understand, why can't I have that house? I'm adamant about getting that house.
But you can get the house all you want to, but the faith ain't gonna pay the mortgage. You can be praying about it, and then if your numbers ain't adding up, what's gonna happen? They're gonna put you out of the house. So what the faith got anything to do with? But I understand about faith, hope, and all that. But you gotta have your numbers in line too when you're talking about the longevity of buying that house. That's what it boils down to.
Okay, all right. So is it God's – okay, I get in the house, And I lose the house after 3 months because I just can't, I can't keep it. Now they're ready to get rid of me, get me out of that house. So now I'm a little disappointed because I'm like, God, you blessed me with this to get in here. God, why would you tease me like this here? And you know this was what I wanted. And I walked by faith. I trusted you. Was that really trusting God? I mean, is it?
That wasn't trusting God. That just you didn't have your numbers in line. That's all. You can't blame God for everything. You know, God, you might have thought you heard from God, but how are you going to hear from that? He didn't tell you to get in the house. You told yourself that. Then you said, hey, God told me. No, you didn't. You didn't have your number. God is not going to give you something he's just going to take away after 3 months like that. So you didn't hear from God. You might have heard from the demon.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Demon said we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you back in here. So Shield of Faith, is it the same? Is it the same? We're talking about common sense here. Did God give us common sense? And we're going to get to the issue of what happened in the Garden of Eden or what we think happened in the Garden of Eden. So Shield of Faith, my question becomes, all right, Jack and Jill, high school sweethearts, they just thought they were going to be together forever. They ended up, they went to college, they graduated, and they say, we're going to get married. They got married. It lasted 5 years. They got one kid together, and it's like now they can't stand each other. So Jill and Jack both prayed about this here. They attended church, and they just knew that this was going to be a marriage made in heaven. But after 5 years, they can't stand each other. So they exercised what they thought was common sense. They wanted to do the right thing, but now they don't like each other. Shield of Faith, what happens? Because 55% or more of the marriages are ending in divorce. So did we not use common sense that God gave us, or did he give us the common sense?
I think a lot of people do use common sense. I think we are born with intelligence, which I think is the basis for, you know, where our common sense comes from. I think we are, you know, have the ability to develop common sense as far as Jack and Jill. You know, maybe they didn't nurture their marriage. Maybe they didn't give 100% after they were married. Maybe there were other factors involved. I mean, there's so many reasons that people do get divorced. I think a lot of it is selfishness. I think a lot of it is the world and society teaches us that it's okay and it doesn't matter. And, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. So a lot of times I think we fall into that pattern of wanting something different after a short period of time.
Okay. All right. Okay, fine. I hear what you're saying. So is intelligence associated with common sense? All right, and let me go here with you. The law in some states says that a child under the age of 7 is not old enough to have the mindset of certain criminal acts or behaviors that he or she may have committed. So they say that they don't necessarily have the appropriate reasoning factors under the age of 7.
Yeah.
So now you take, for example, a 6-year-old. Okay, and the mother has told this child, listen, you know, do not leave your toys in the middle of the floor. I've told you this like 1,500 times. And the child still leaves the toys in the middle of the floor. And all of a sudden now he walks into, they come in from an outing, dinner outing, the family. And the first one that trips over this toy in the dark before they turn on the light, it's the child. Now he fractures his arm. Now the mother is hurt. She's fully hurt because the child is hurt. And now, you know, so now she's also mad at that child for leaving that toy there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
did he or she have the reasoning to exercise common sense when the mother told him 1,500 times, and that's figuratively speaking 1,500. Shield of Faith, talk to me.
No, it's probably...
Huh?
She wants him to do what she tells him to do. It's a hard question. I mean, as far as, you know, when we're kids, we don't ever think about the consequences of something that we do or don't do. We don't use common sense in saying, oh, if I leave the toy in the middle of the floor, it's going to make somebody trip and it's going to be me and I'm going to get hurt. I mean, So I don't know. I mean, I think we are born with intelligence, and I think that is the basis of where our common sense comes from, but I think it's a learning experience as we go. I think our parents all told us certain things, and we did some of them, and some of them we didn't do. I guess you could say we didn't use common sense in following what our parents said. I don't know. I'm rambling. Sorry.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. If you want to speak to this issue tonight, you can certainly press 1 on your dial. Press 1. We would love to hear your comments on did God create common sense within us? Hey, where does common sense come from? Everybody, you know, is always saying, why don't you use common sense? You know, well, do we all have it? Demon Slayer, do we all have common sense?
I think you got to look at it from two perspectives. You know what I mean? You can say that God gives you common sense, but you can I'm going to take for an example this. You take a kid that his parents are not there and they got to fend for everything that they have to eat. You know what I mean? The parents aren't giving them nothing to eat, so he's got to fend in the street to try to get something to eat, then a different person can have 3 square meals a day. Their common sense level is not going to be the same. They might be 6 years old, but the 6-year-old that's got to fend for himself to get something to eat every day because there's not a hot meal waiting for him, he's got a different mindset than the other 6-year-old.
Okay, that's a good point, because while you're on that subject, then the question is asked, Demon Slayer, is a baby exercising common sense when that baby is crying, or is that just an innate behavior or act? That baby is crying. The baby is either wet or it had another accident in its pampers or diapers back in the day, or the baby is hungry. And then when you put that nipple, whether it's the mother breastfeeding, or the nipple from the bottle there, is the child exercising common sense? Because you don't have to train it how to suck that milk or eat the food. So how does that happen?
I mean, I think that's different. So, you know, when babies are born, you know, I mean, they're just going by what they feel. Okay, they're hungry, they cry. Okay, if they wet or then stink in their pampers, they cry. So what they're doing is you're reacting to their action. So it's not really like common sense, okay, this is something wrong with me. Okay, do this for me, okay? Then you got to burp them, then you hold them on your shoulder, and then, you know, maybe try to walk them to sleep. But sometimes some things or something might have an ear infection or something like that. So all you're doing is reacting to that action.
Okay, so where did their natural, this is an innate ability, where did that come from for those babies? Where did that come from?
Just like, I guess it comes from God, you know what I mean? Because just like with animals, they're the same thing when they're little babies. And their mother or their father just react to their crying or whatever. He tried to go up under the lioness or whatever baby and just try to suck that nipple. It's just a natural form before they're hungry. And they already know where the nipple is, so that's what it's just like the animals. You know, they got common sense like that too.
Okay, so babies, it says that babies typically, they can't even see straight when they're born. They can maybe... It said that they can, their images that pass before their eyes, but they don't make that out. It takes a while before their sight comes to where it's clarity. They can respond to voices and so forth and stuff like that, and they usually can know that party who's around them the most. They pick up on that voice, even when they can't see. There's a bonding, I believe, that also science says that takes place with the mother and the child, and that child, it's scent, like an animal scent, that child can smell that mother. The mother knows even when the child is injured. So, Demon said, my question to you, and we're going to bring Pastor Roland in just a moment. He said he would be a little late, and he's here. He's got perfect attendance with us. So, Demon said, the question becomes, you say you guess that this innate ability comes from God. So why does it sound like you're not sure? It has to come from somewhere.
I'm pretty sure that it is. Because if you really look, you got to look real hard at things. Now, the baby might cry, but when the baby cries, he gets the nipple. But then after that, you can see the baby reaching for the nipple. He don't have to see. All he got to do is reach for it, and that instinct automatically tells him to open up his mouth. So while you really look at a newborn baby when they first start taking their first meal, look at their eyes and then look at their hands at the same time. They can't open their eyes, but they can reach for it and open their mouth.
Okay, that their sensory skills are more inclined. You know, I mean, it's almost like perfection. So now, Shield of Faith, let's bring in Pastor Rowe, International Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Yes, Dr. Walsh, great to be on the show, and I just love the comment that my brother, Brother Lorenzo, just gave, you know, and just to add to that, you know, God, you know, sensory perceptions, you know, whether it's, you know, not only your voice, but it can be just your touch. You know, your babies, you know, they can tell, you know, whether it's the mother's, someone is always holding it, you know. It's, and that can only come from God. God gives the child, the infant, you know, that ability to discern, you know, just the touch. You know, it's just like the lady that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. You know, thousands of people around, right? But that was a special touch. And I believe that little children, they can feel and know the special touch that comes from their mother.
All right, excellent. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. If you just joined us, tonight's topic is, did God create us with common sense? Okay, we've talked now about the innate abilities that babies have, you know, recognizing that they're hungry, they're wet, they're, you know, have another accident in their clothing, you know, but they make a sound, so we're reacting to that sound. Something's wrong with the baby because the baby's crying. And also there could be a form of fear that the baby will have. So, but the interesting thing is the babies do not have a recollection of these things that took place. By the time they're six and seven, they don't even have a recollection that they were babies like that. Shield of Faith, I want to bring you in here. Is that also innate? Is that innate, the common sense approach? What is that?
I think it's a growing experience that God blesses us with. One thing I'd like to say is that if you have ever been around a premature baby, they don't know how to suck. So you're in the womb for 9 months, and you come out with that instinct of knowing how to, you know, to suck a bottle or, you know, a mother's breast. And so that is a natural instinct. But a premature baby born, I'm not sure exactly the time frame, but does not know that. So that is something I think that's an instinct that God blesses us with. And I think as a child grows, yes, they forget that they cried and this and that, but they learn as they go with the parents teaching them and the things around them in the world that teaches them about common sense and making decisions that are smart and not so smart sometimes.
Okay. All right. Shield of Faith, we're going to ask you to stand by. All right. Let's get to, we're asking the question, did God create common sense within us? You know, and I'm not hearing it yet, the real answer to this. Could it be that, Shield of Faith, could it be that we're not sure as humans that where this common sense approach comes from, and who told us? I mean, anywhere in the Bible, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, to my recollection, that we're supposed to exercise common sense. Somebody out there, press one if you have something. Someone did share something with me last night about common sense, and they interpreted that in the Bible to be common sense. If they want to share that with us again, we're glad to hear that. But Shield of Faith, where in the Bible does it talk about common sense?
I think it talks about godly wisdom, and I think it talks about morality and making decisions for Christ and what he would have us do, but I'm not so sure that it exactly says common sense. I think that's something. And common sense to me might not be common sense to you. Like, you know, we're raised in different families, and our parents might have, you know, my parents might have taught me that it was fine to fly down the hill on my bike with my baby brother. And your parents might have said, no, that's dangerous. So I think common sense is going to be different to everybody, honestly.
Okay, so in law, they look at two standards, so to speak, two of many standards. They look at a witness may be on the witness stand and using a subjective standard, a subjective viewpoint. And then that same witness could be on, and the attorney may ask a question about an objective standard viewpoint. And so the subjective standard is what that person internalized, you know, and make it about kind of like themselves, their viewpoint. But an objective standard is what, you know, a reasonable, prudent person or a number of people are likely to conclude or come up with that a similar or common viewpoint. So in that, we talk about in Proverbs 8:5, it talks about sound judgment. So shield of faith, could that allude to being interpreted as common sense? You know, sound judgment. You exercise sound judgment or use sound judgment.
Yes, I think so, absolutely. Yes, I agree. I agree with that, that could be interpreted as common sense.
All right, so then we also talk about a reasonable, prudent person. What does that mean, you know, in your opinion, a reasonable, prudent person? Because the law, and we're not talking about biblical law, but Bible law, and I mean man's law, talks about a reasonable, prudent person, you know, especially when we talk about negligence or duty of care. A reasonable, prudent person would use. Are we referring to that as a person who is going to likely exercise common sense? Is that the reasonable, prudent person standard, shield of faith? What do you think?
That's a tough question. I would say, I guess you're saying based on the law. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely the prudent person is going to be somebody that exercises common sense. Based on the law, absolutely. I think that person would be somebody that would follow the law.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, if that's the case, if we're not absolutely sure where the common sense came from, and now the law is saying we're talking about jurisprudence, you know, reasonable person standard, reasonable prudent person. So, and Shield of Faith just said, you know, what might be common sense to one person might not be common sense to another. Am I quoting you correctly, Shield of Faith? Shield of Faith?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, because like I said,
Pastor Rose, if that's the case, she's saying how I might interpret common sense, she might not interpret common sense the same way. So as such, how can the law say that we should go by the reasonable, prudent person standard, which is an objective standard? How can the law say that when she sees things differently than I do? Help me with that, Pastor Rowe.
Well, we see things, and the way that I see that, you know, life experiences mean a lot, you know, and of course, you heard the expression, let your conscience be your guide, you know, but what influence your conscience, you know, things around you, you know, and the demon slayer, he can kind of barrel on with me with, you know, the teachings he received in the Army, and I'm in the Marine Corps, you know, if we get captured by the enemy, you know, what they do, you know, they brainwash you, you know, they try to, you know, until the person said, I yield, you know, but we are influenced by the things that that we hear and see every day, you know, and that is part of the building your conscience, you know, to things that are going on. You know, a lot of people don't have no problems with, Americans being, I'm just putting, you know, Americans being killed in war or whatever, you know, just kill them, you know. But we are influenced, but as for the Christian, you know, we're influenced by the Holy Spirit because he resides on the inside and speaks to us and tells us what's right and what's wrong. Back to you, Dr.
Okay.
Walker.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, if we operate from the Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, as you said, and I agree with that, So then, Pedro, you weren't on earlier when I said I want to buy this house. That's the mortgage is $3,000 a month, and I have faith that I can get that house because God, with God, all things are possible. So I have faith, but I'm living in I can barely afford the $800 a month apartment, which is really an efficiency that I live in, $800 a month. But I got faith, but there's no sources of additional income that I'm bringing in. So help me understand that the common sense approach as it relates, we talked about it earlier before you came on, help me understand the common sense approach how my faith can make me whole and get in that $3,000 house. Pastor, is that possible?
Well, a lot of times we mix up faith with stupidity, you know. I use the three things, faith, foolishness, and presumption. You know, those three things is worthy of thought. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. Sometimes we say it's faith, but it's foolishness. It's presumptuous, you know. So you have to really know when God is speaking to you. And don't be foolish and don't be presumptuous. You know, a lot of people, you understand where I'm coming from.
Absolutely.
If you don't have the faith to maintain what you got, how can you have the faith to get a $3 trillion house? To me, that's foolish. That's my thoughts.
So Pastor Roy, here again, we're saying now, because what's objective to one person, as Sheila Faith said, what one person views as common sense, another person does not. So if Pastor Roy, someone were to come to you for spiritual guidance, and they're saying, and then if you were, and I'm sure you would not, you know, use the language of stupidity to that person, or maybe you might, not calling that person stupid, but the behavior may not be one of intelligence. So now they're saying, I've got this faith that God's going to put me in that $3,000. They're doing what we call like dream building. They're visualizing that they can get into that mansion, and they don't have any other source of revenue coming in. So, Pastor Roll, are you saying that that's a stupid thought, that their common sense is entangled with something, with stupidity?
Well, I answer that question by asking a question, you know.
Okay.
If a man is married to a woman, you know, and he's got a job, you know, and they barely making it, and he says to her, the Lord called me. You know, so I'm going to quit this end job, and I'm just going to, you know, we're just going to have to trust God, you know. And you've heard that one before, you know.
Yeah.
And, but, it, you know, scripture say according to your faith, you know, if God has called you, go ahead.
No, I'm listening to you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying, okay.
Okay. Yeah, if God has called you, I mean, I've heard, and I've heard the story, you know, about Joel Osteen Ministries and how his father, you know, God called him and da-da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. And he caught the vision. He's, you know, carrying the vision on, you know. So in terms of whether you're going to quit your job and you live in a hand-to-mouth existence, people have to make their own choice. I mean, is it going to be fussing and fighting in the house? I mean, we can't even pay our bills. We ain't even got food to eat, you know, and people are going to have to bring food to us. And you talking about quitting your job and God has called you, you know, I mean, it takes a lot of communications and faith to, you know, but I think when all is said and done, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, and he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church, it says to yourself. So that's all I got to say.
Okay, Pastor, I want to stay with you for a moment, and let's go back to that same scenario. That woman, it seems like it's a common sense thing to her, says, okay, help me understand this. Let's call them Jack and Jill. Jill is like telling Jack, okay, help me understand this. You're saying that God has called you to do something, and you're going to quit your job, And that job, we're barely making it as it is. So Jill is looking at it objectively, but it, I mean, she's looking at it, yeah, objectively and subjectively, and saying a reasonable person does not quit their job, you know, and we're just barely making it as it is. So who does that man listen to? Who should he listen to? The call
when
of what he thinks God has called him to, or listen to his wife, who happens to just help me?
Full-time ministry, you know, in other words, God has told me to cut off everything and give myself full-time. You don't even have a church. You got to, you know, just, you know, whatever I'm saying, you know, and people deal with that in this world today, you know, but you have to, you know, we have to pray for people to make the right choices and the right decisions. You know, sometimes people go by faith and wow, you know, the tree grow bigger than the trees of Lebanon, you know, because they had that faith, you know, and faith, and you heard the saying, faith without works is dead. You know, you got to do
right.
Something. Things go together. But that's my thoughts. You know, you have to make your own final choice. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto yourself, to the church. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right. So, Shield of Faith, let me bring you in here, because I want to ask this question, because I know we're dancing around some things right now, you all, and we are. So, Shield of Faith, has God equipped us on this planet with everything that we need for the season that he gives us? Has he? Has he really?
Yes.
Okay, and how are you so certain of that?
He gives us his word, guides our lives, and tells us what to say, how to act, what to do. And as far as the husband and wife, I mean, I think you could say, yes, God told you to quit your job, but let's pray and maybe find another one prior to that. I mean, that would be the common sense side of it, right?
Okay. Yes,
but God
equips
us by giving us the intelligence that we're born with. By, you know, whatever family he's put us into that teaches us to grow. And, of course, he equips us to do what he's called us to do, live for him, praise him.
Okay, all right. So you're saying that God has given us everything that we need, you know, everything that we need on this planet, right?
Well, everything we need for what? I mean, to serve him?
To sustain our survival for the season he's
yes.
given us.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. So if that's what he's done, all right, okay, let's put it this way, Shield of Faith. Let's say you have kids. Let's say you have 3 sons and 2 daughters, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've trained them. You've raised them to be self-sufficient when they become adults. Now, let's say Your youngest son who did not listen, to you, is always comes to you, Mom, can I borrow $5? I'll pay you back. And the boy doesn't even have a job. And he's like, you know, his life has just gone out of control. And so he didn't listen, but the others are quite successful because they listen to you. So what do? You keep giving him $5, Shield of Faith?
No, you sit down and you talk to him about getting a job. You talk to him about his future. You talk to him about what his goals are. You pray for him. You pray with him. You try to teach him as best you can how to be a man and to grow, to be, you know, independent, not needing $5 from his mom.
Okay, so at what point do you, as the mom, exercise tough love for this child? Because he's been coming to you now for the past 6 months. Mom, you know, every other day, Mom, can I borrow $5? He's already living in your house. And it's like, you know, he's not even trying to get a job. He's playing video games all day in your house. And he's 29 years of age.
Heck no. That's not happening.
So,
I mean,
but that's,
you know,
Shield of Faith, that's your child.
That's your child, and you have to do what's best for the child. It's not best for the child to let him play video games in the basement all day when he's 29 years old. No, absolutely not. But I think the teaching and the, you know, common sense and things like that would have to start before 29 years old, of course.
Yes. So, Shield of Faith, did you go wrong that this boy is still staying with you and playing video games and the others are successful? And the oldest, all the other kids saying, Mom, why do you baby him, Mom?
Something went wrong. And, you know, some of us who were spoiled know what that means. But, you know, you can spoil a child, but they can still be successful. And I think you know that, Dr. Walker.
Yes, I do.
I know that. My dad spoiled me, but he also taught me the value of hard work, honesty, you know, godly advice. I mean, so you can spoil a child without, you know, ruining them, I would say. But if he's doing that at 29, I mean, that had to start before that age. So something was amiss prior to the age of 29.
Okay, all right. Okay, so my question to you again is, at what point do you, as the mom, exercise self-love and say, I'm not doing it anymore? Bobby, I'm just not doing it anymore, okay? Now, you got 1 month to get out and find a job. Otherwise, I'm just kicking you out. Come on now, Shield of Faith. This is your child. You're going to see this child on the street?
It would be before age 29 that I did that, absolutely. And I wouldn't just kick him out. I would help him find a job. I would help him find a place. I would help him, you know, through. If there were issues or something, I would try to help him as best I could. But, you know, there's ways and means to teach and to encourage and to help your child.
Okay. All right. So, Shield of Faith. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here now. Has God given us everything we need? And I'm making a point here, you all. Stay with me, please, on this one. This is very important. Has God given us everything we need, including common sense?
Well, I would say yes to that. And, you know, he gives us, you know, wisdom. But with all our wisdom, you know, we have to have an understanding. You know, it's a time and place for everything, you know. We can say God said this and God said that, you know. But if I'm a farmer, you know, you're going to common sense say you're not going to try to plant your seeds in the winter when it's snowing. You know, you're going to do it in the summer, in the spring, you know. Wisdom is the principal thing, you know, but we have to get an understanding. You know, we find that in Ecclesiastes, you know. So sometimes we're just foolish. We say things is faith, and it's not faith. It's just foolishness and presumptuous. So then it's a difference.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to the phone lines once again, 305-332. But just give us 1 second. Before we do that, please stand by, 305-332. Your name is not coming up in the queue.
That's me.
I want to go to – who's that?
Hello. Hi, Dr. Walker. It's Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us, Sister Marjorie. You're on a different line. Sister Marjorie, where did our common sense come from? I mean, I'm just trying to figure this out. Did God give us common sense, and do we even know what it is?
Yes, he gives us common sense. Good evening to you and Pastor Roland, to everyone on the line, all the co-hosts. Yes, he gives us common sense, and he expects for us to use our common sense.
Okay,
you
so what is common sense? What is common sense? What is common sense? If you had to define common sense, how would you define it? You got both my ears tuned up like a German Shepherd. What is common sense?
Common sense, I would say just trying to do things the right way. You know, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. I know what it is, but I just know it's doing the things the right way, you know. I don't know.
So how do
that's
we teach common sense? How can common sense be taught if we ourselves don't even know what it is? Demon Slayer, we're going to actually stand by, Sister Marjorie.
Okay.
Demon Slayer, let me bring you in here. Demon Slayer, somebody define common sense for me without going to Wikipedia or the dictionary, because by now I would think that if we got common sense, we know what it is. Demon Slayer, what is common sense?
I think common sense, you go through life and you go through trials and tribulations, then, okay, you don't do this, you don't do it, just like a little baby, like we talked about last night, okay? You touch the fire, I mean, you can tell somebody something, okay, don't do this, or this is going to happen. But they do it anyway. Okay, so you start getting your common sense. Okay, you touch it again, then it's going to be hot. You should have learned that the first time that you did it. But some people don't have common sense. Some people just as dumb as I don't know what. They can't. And people do redundant things. They do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome until you change it up.
Okay, so
when you really see the real change.
All right, so if some people are dumb as you don't know what, if that's the case, then I thought God gave us common sense. I thought he gave us common sense. That's what, you know, many are saying that God gave us common sense. And then some are saying, okay, now we're learning common sense because, you know, just like I did, I touched that stove, and because my mother told me don't touch it, I touched it. So I don't know if it was common sense, but it was something because it burnt my hand. And it's like, okay, I'm not going to mess with that again, you know, so... So through life, you get married because you thought, oh, that's the perfect one. God sent this person to me. And all of a sudden now, Jack and Jill, they can't stand each other. And then you go on, Jack marries Sally, Jill marries Bob. And the same thing happened. Now it's like, what happened? Why didn't I use common sense? What in the world is common sense? Somebody talk to me, please.
You know,
where did
sometimes
it come
you
from?
Can... I don't know. Hey, sometimes you can do all the right things and it still come out wrong. You know what I mean? You might think you got a lady. Okay, you say okay, she's God sent, right? So let on down
yeah.
the line. I mean, she might cheat or whatever they do on you. You thought you told yourself that she came from God, but the only thing that's going to find that out is time. That's the only way you're going to learn about people. That's it, by time. You know what I mean? The devil come at you skinning and grinning. Do he stay with you a long time? No. He only stay with you when it's time to destruct you or put you in the prison, put you in jail. Now you're looking at 30 years. Then he leaves. Until then, for you to deal with your own mind, now you had the common sense thinking in jail. Hey, I'm looking at 30 years. But what were the common sense you should have do before you got yourself in that predicament?
Amen, brother.
All right, so, you know, this is so, if you had the common sense, right? Demon Slayer, you put it out there, I'm just quoting, some people are dumb as you don't know what. And so, I mean, it's like, I'm still trying to figure out the common sense approach. All right, so let's shift gears just for a moment. Okay, shield of faith, let's begin with you. If Adam and Eve say that they had... Shield of faith. Would you say that they had common sense?
Do I think that Adam and Eve had common sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and what makes you hesitate on that?
But they made a mistake. They made a mistake. I mean, you can have
right.
common sense and not make the right decision. I mean, you can
right.
know about God and not choose to serve him. So, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, shield of faith, I want to go back to the 29-year-old son, right? And I want
yeah,
to say
yeah.
you've trained him just like you trained the other four. So now,
yeah.
and we talked about you're exercising tough love, and after a while, you're not going to necessarily put him out, but you're trying to teach him something, sitting down and talking
yeah.
with him as you sit. So now...
Yeah.
At some point, aren't you tired of talking to him? I told you this, the same thing that I told your brothers and sisters. Now, you know, you're getting on my nerves. Is that possible, Shield of Faith?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit down and have the same conversation over and over without action. I mean, you have a conversation and you set goals and you know, expect outcome out of it. But like I said, I think that would have to start before age 29. I mean, if you've allowed that to go on for years and years and years, that's going to be a learned behavior that's difficult to change. But I would not be giving my 29-year-old son $5 every day or whatever he asked or wanted without working or this or that. That's just not healthy for him. I mean, so I would want to use common sense to try to help him to better his future.
All right. So the point I really want to make in all of this, just like with the 29-year-old kid, or he's not a kid, the man, 29-year-old, then, Shield of Faith, help me, and I'm going to ask all of you all this very question. Why would God come to us to help us to make a decision when he's already equipped us with the common sense approach? Why would he keep coming to us to make certain decisions when you're already equipped with the intelligence, with certain advice, with subjective standards, with objective standards? Those of sane mind, S-A-N-E, those of sane mind. Why would God keep coming to us? Lord, should I buy this sandwich? It's got, you know, if I don't eat pork, Lord, it made me sick the last time, but they talk about this burger. Lord, I want to try this here. Oh, my goodness, people, my friends brag about this here. And I know that pork is not good. Lord, can you just, you know, help my body to just be able to take it? I got to try it because all my friends love it. Shield of Faith, is God going to come and help me make a decision to buy that sandwich, knowing that I don't eat pork, it makes me sick? Help me with that, Shield of Faith. So why am I praying?
No, that's common sense that you've already decided what you're going to do. You're going to listen to your friends. You're going to buy a sandwich. You're going to be sick. I mean, that's not something. But, you know, now can God help heal your body if it makes you so sick that you do have to, you know, get a disease or something like that? Of course he can. And he loves us. That's why he keeps coming to us to help us. Because he loves us, just like we love our children.
All right, so he's
like,
okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. If I had a 29-year-old son that needed help or whatever, I would love him just like I loved my other children. But I would not want to enable him to not be, you know, a productive man in his life, because that's not going to help him. And I love him enough to want him to, you know, be a productive man in life and enjoy life.
Okay, so share the faith. Maybe, okay, let's watch this now. Here's I'm going with this point. In the Garden of Eden, you said,
yeah,
God, that's why God loves us so much. That's why he keeps coming to us to help us with our decision.
Yeah.
And I'm quoting you now. God loves us so much, he keeps, you use the words, he keeps coming to us to help us with our decision. Okay, so share the faith, then the question becomes, where was God when Adam and Eve made their decision? Did he not come to them to help them make the decision, Shield of Faith? Or
no,
was it that he had already given them instructions? He had already, think about it for a second before you respond, please. Did he already give them prior knowledge? And what was in their path was their free choice, their free will, just like with the sandwich. If I'm going to go buy that sandwich, is there a need for me to pray, Lord, I want this sandwich, when I know I've already had experience with buying, eating that pork? It's going to make me sick, but I want to try this here. Why would I go after that and pray to God, is he really going to come and help me make the decision, when knowing that he's already given me an experience with that? Adam and Eve, why didn't he come to them? Where was he when they were at that tree, you know, partaking of this fruit? Or did he need to be there in his omniscience, letting them exercise their free choice? And then it goes on to ask, God asks the question, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? When he's omniscient, was that a figure of speech or literally speaking? Shield of Faith, I know that's a lot to throw at you.
That's a lot. Okay, so with Adam and Eve, they didn't solicit God's help to make the decision. Yes, he'd given them instructions, but they chose to go against what he instructed them, just like you chose to touch the stove after your mom told you not to. So it wasn't that he wasn't there or he wouldn't be there for them or help them make the decision. They didn't solicit his help with that. You with the sandwich, if you pray and ask God, you know, help, blah, 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 you know, already your conscience and your mind and, you know, is telling you not to do it. So that's your choice if you go against him. That doesn't mean he's not there for you.
Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, I want to stay with you for a second. Shield of Faith, really, they didn't seek God, they didn't solicit his advice on that fruit? Shield of Faith, isn't it possible he had already told them? He had already told them. And so why would they continue? Why would they now say, well, God, I'm soliciting your opinion on this here? I already, you know, I mean, just, God, I'm not trying to get in trouble with you, but I'm just saying here, he says, I've already told you, you're getting on my nerves now. I've already given you clear instructions, and now you're second-guessing my instructions? Come on, Shield of Faith, help me, somebody.
I mean, just like everybody, you know, has choices to make. And we
right.
sometimes we know what's right to do, but we make the wrong choice just based on what we want or what we desire or something that's tempted us. I mean, so we all make bad choices, and that's exactly what they did. Yes, he gave them instruction, but they chose not to listen to it or follow it, and they chose to allow Satan to tempt them, thinking that it would be better.
Okay. All right, so Shield of Faith.
Yes.
No, go ahead. That happened as well.
So when God, I remember now what you said, so when God asked Adam, where art thou, he was testing Adam to see would he respond or would he, you know, not respond. That's my
right.
opinion.
Okay, so was that when he was testing Adam? Because God is omniscient. He's everywhere at the same time. So he knew what they were doing. He knew
yes.
when they were going to do that. So, or
yeah.
is it that yeah. his language was them, was Adam's mindset. Adam, where art thou? Where's your mindset, Adam? Where's your mindset? But perhaps God's question may have been so deep and misunderstood or misinterpreted by man so that, you know, Adam was hiding from God. Who can hide from God? So was God maybe asking him, Adam, where art thou? Where is your mindset? Like with common sense approach here. You're saying to this child, where are you, boy? You're 29 years old. Where are you? Well, Mom, I'm standing right in front of you. Dad, I'm standing right in front of you. No, that's not what I'm asking you. Where are you in your mindset? Talk to me. Pastor Rowe, Shield of Faith, stand by. Pastor Rowe, so where is Adam? Where was his mindset? What are you doing, boy, man? My creation?
Well, he was... I would think, Dr. Walker, he was influenced by the wrong thing, you know, and a lot of people want to be smarter than somebody else, you know. You know, Satan, yeah, he said this, but God knows that if you eat this, you know, you'll be wise, you know. And it's just like a pitcher throwing a ball, you know. You know, he know what is a fastball, slider, curveball, whatever, you know. Are you going to hit the fastball? Are you going to go for it, the curveball, the slider, or whatever? You know, are you going to wait? We'll just wait and get a walk, you know. The devil's always trying to throw fastballs on you, but you got to make a decision whether you're going to do the right thing.
All right, we're going to have you stand by. D from Georgia, we got noise in your background. D from Georgia, we've got you online now. Go ahead, D. D from Georgia. All right, perhaps she's just listening in. All right, Dima said, let me bring you in here before we close out. Shield of Faith, would you like to close us out tonight?
Yes, I'll be glad to.
Okay, we're gonna bring you back in just a second. Did God give us with common sense, and what is that? If so, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here quickly now, 15 seconds or less. Demon Slayer, what happened, in your opinion, in the Garden of Eden? What happened with Adam and Eve? And then why are we paying for this?
I think it's a difference between having common sense and being beguiled, you know, fool. You know, I think everybody in life is going to, just like the song say, everybody plays the fool. That don't mean you don't have common sense. Sometimes you get fooled. You know, you can't see everything. You're not a psychic. You know, you just got to learn from your trials and tribulations. Some people don't learn from there, and some people do. The people that do, they start to have common sense. They don't go for the old okey-doke anymore. But some people can do the same thing over and over. And I think that's when you're being foolish.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I got to get off the air. We're going to go ahead. Let's Shield of Faith close us out. Did God create us with common sense? If so, what happened in the Garden of Eden? And relative to common sense for all of us, Shield of Faith.
Okay, well, thank you so much for allowing me to do this and to be a part of the show tonight. And I think God does give us common sense. I think it's something that we learn. We're born with intelligence, and I think it's something that we learn based on our surroundings and what we're taught. I think it's the ability to see, hear, and understand certain things. I think it helps us make decisions that are common to other people, and sometimes there's need for debate, and sometimes there's not. I think when you add godly morality and godly wisdom and revelation to common sense, then you do receive that godly wisdom. I think that Christians have the Holy Spirit within them that helps to guide them, and I think that that's what gives them common sense as well. And so that's just my opinion about that. Now, what happened in the Garden of Eden was didn't really have anything to do with common sense. It had to do with them turning away from what God had instructed them to do. They were tempted and they sinned. And it didn't have anything to do with them having common sense. It had to do with them turning their back on God and not doing what he instructed them to do, as we all do at times.
Okay, so Sheila Faith, one final thought. Then why are we paying for it?
Well, I mean, once sin came into the earth, and there's a curse, and God said, you know, man will have to work for bread from that point on. And when sin came in, then death came upon, and women have to suffer in childbearing. And so that's what happened when they sinned.
Okay. All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all. I want to thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. Listen, we'll be back here tomorrow morning for our International Divine Intervention Day program. You don't want to miss that one. We've got a special topic for you on tomorrow. It's going to be a two-hour program. You don't want to miss it. The preliminaries, we have testimonies, we have prayer warriors that will come on and pray for you. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tomorrow's program is going to be Before the Ink Dries. And this is something that's going to be a powerful testimony by our speaker, Professor Charlotte Henry. Is going to be bringing that word tomorrow, Before the Ink Dries. You don't want to miss this here. And she's going to give a revelation of what God did for her just in a week's time, within a matter of minutes. And she knew that it was God, and she's going to present that tomorrow morning. If you have any doubt or reservation that God is out there, just take a look around at nature and all the elements and all the creatures that live and walk among this planet, even we as humans. Listen, we're completely out of time. Join us here tomorrow morning, 6:30 or 8:30 for International Divine Intervention Day program. Of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow morning's program, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, or next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program. Until tomorrow morning, or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience all around the world, good night. God bless. Thank you, God. We want to say a special thanks also to Tokyo that was going to call us tonight from Tokyo. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Marshall.
Great comments, Brother Lorenzo. God bless you, Marjorie.
Just your pastor, bro.
All right, my brother.
What's on the pig foot that you want to eat?
And we not sucking no toes. No cat toes. No.
He's so